on RSN 927's Racing Pulse, welcome to The Verdict.
What about the decision of Jess Eaton to pack up Victoria, head over to South Australia and just have a bit of a crack for a few more opportunities? 6 months later, she is now leading the South Australian Jockeys Premiership.
And every time a nice price horse goes through the ring, you're constantly reminded that you can come back and race in all these million-dollar races the following year and for every year after. Best marketing tool in Australian yearling market.
Jamie Carr extended her lead at the top of the Premiership. Her strike rate is almost twice as strong a strike rate as what the other major jockeys have.
So if the Queensland trainers are unhappy with their lifestyle and their workload, then what does it say about the furnaces of Melbourne and Sydney? Because they have to be worse.
My fear is that we will go through this entire autumn carnival with exactly the same protocol.
What happens to this oil well full of precocious types that are not translating into horses that consistently flesh out the older class sprint ranks?
It is that time of the week on The Verdict where we dissect and discuss what was a stellar weekend of racing with Matty Stewart and Mick Sharkey. Good morning, gents.
Morning, Miguel and Miguel.
Yes, good morning.
That sounded very serious.
I'm sort of... It's one of those weekends where I'm recovering on a Monday. I'm financially wounded.
Oh.
Following Saturday.
I thought you had a good day. You tipped Artorias, didn't you?
No.
Who'd you tip?
Oxley Road was my best. So that got me off to a flyer. But it gave you that... You know when your best gets up early and it gives you that false sense of superiority and you just sort of...
It's unlike Shark to have a false sense of superiority.
As long as he said it was a false sense.
True to form. You go a bit harder and things just don't go your way. Anyway, we sort of recovering from that, and then yesterday I had lunch at a friend's place, and it was like, I felt like the bloke on Monty Python's Meaning of Life, like just to wait for Thin Mint to come the end of it. I'm a python looking for a hot rock to lie on just for a few days, just to digest. It was amazing. So wow. I'm physically and financially wounded, gentlemen.
Well, I actually had some luck on the weekend. How did you go, Matty Stewart?
Look at you sitting there with the cream.
You know how my weekend doesn't usually end with standard race times. There was a bit going on in the evening yesterday. There was a bit.
Where did you bet? You could have ended up in
there was
having a bet on the Saudi Cup.
Well, everything was late yesterday. There was still an opportunity to have a go into the early evening. So I have to check my account. I think there was a little flurry late, but I'm just not sure. No, it was sort of shut in, and we will talk about Golden 60. You know how I'm an immovable object when it comes to praising Hong Kong horses.
Well, they're all bubble boys, aren't they?
Yeah, this is the best in the bubble, though. This is a good bubble boy, this one, Golden 60. That was a mighty win off a stop-start yesterday. But as you were saying, Michael... how unusual was it to walk into a racetrack with buzz and people and colour and movement and all that? Because we had been back, but Cup Week was just such a weird experience with the tumbleweeds and all that. So I forgot what the things were at the racetrack that made me want to go. And it was just movement and seeing the jockeys pile past, going into combat every race and seeing the horses up close, and particularly the two-year-olds. And
hearing some cheers from the crowd.
Cheers. Matt Hill had an absolute spring in his step because I thought, finally, I have an audience on course.
And he delivered. That was a brilliant call in the Blue Diamond.
So, and I know we probably looked through rose-coloured glasses because this is the first one we'd been back to, but I'm not going to get political with who else does great race days and all that sort of stuff, but there's no better race day than that race day.
We'd had everything on Saturday. The three group ones delivered in spades.
Yeah.
But do you remember 7 days ago, you were saying, how's the Newmarket expecting to compete? It's worth $1.2 million. The Oakley Plate was only worth $500,000.
But it wasn't the quality of the field in the Oakley Plate. It was the drama of the event. It wasn't that it attracted the nature strips and bivouacs. It was because there was five lengths between a competitive group of nice sprinters and we had a dead heat. So that's what made it a great race. It wasn't that it had a long tail, for instance, but that didn't matter because it's a handicap race and it's not about how deep the field is. It's about how competitive the race is.
It was a very, very good race. I think it's due for a prize money uptick, though, surely, the Oakley Plate, along with the Blue Diamond. Can the Blue Diamond really be worth 1.5 when the showdown's worth $1 million?
The Millennium is worth $2 million, that restricted race.
But should they be in competition with new races that have come up, or should it be in competition with itself? Like, I know you say it needs more money, but what more money? What would more money have delivered other than what we had on Saturday? I mean, it was a terrific field and a terrific.
I agree.
But I don't know what then, another million.
But then you've got the futurities only worth half a million.
That's the area that I would be looking at, because everyone has spoken about, and I'm going to say it again, ASM, they're the initials. Everyone said, oh, well, the futurity benefited by virtue of the fact that the ASM is there and that this is a terrific lead-up and we wouldn't have got this field if it hadn't been for the All-Star Mile. Well, traditionally, the Futurity Stakes does attract horses like that. That's what the Futurity attracts, yeah. You know. It attracts the Probabils, the Behemoths, and the Arcadia Queens. That, as a standalone, that is a sort of field you do get in a Futurity Stakes. So, with or without the All-Star Mile. Don't agree? Or have you...
No, I agree.
Is that pause for thought?
I agree, but I think that this is a win and you're in race for the All-Star Mile. And I think for maybe a horse like Arcadia Queen or Probabil, who could have gone to Sydney where the wet tracks are and she'd just eat it up in whatever she can test, to have that Probabil... That
she's
big,
a dry tracker.
Well, I suppose she can perform it all. The $5 million carrot at the end, I think, does help...
But
build
the futurity
up these
stakes.
Races.
You look at the futurity stakes on a roll over 50 years. These are the horses that run in the futurity.
I think
stakes.
The futurity.
Yeah, it's still a futurity.
I think the futurity should be $1 million race.
Yeah, that's. I think you're probably right. But look, and I'm not knocking the All Star Mile. There are elements of it that I think need tinkering, and I think it's been over marketed at the expense of these races. But that's something that can be resolved in the future.
There is one thing that Matt Stewart has been banging on about for weeks, and I'm coming to the conclusion that Matt is right. You said.
Pause.
It's,
hang on. Okay, go.
You said this is a very average bunch of three-year-olds compared to what the hype is. Gee, he was playing Ole Kirk, Crosshaven, disappointed.
And then playing, you get a... yes, but he was also in the quicksand.
And then
well,
you get...
okay.
That didn't help him.
Then you get one bouncing in from New Zealand who just flogs him in Sydney as well. So that gives you an indication. Oh,
yes, he was in the slow ground, but I still think he was disappointing.
Well, it was disappointing that he didn't run to his best, but the horse was in the worst part of the track.
Well, hang on. Two races later, Celebrity Queen, Dead Heat's coming through exactly the same spot in an Oakley Plate.
Exactly the same spot? Don't know. He was getting knocked around inside horses. So I'm not. I think it's easy to say, oh, disappointing, oh, this and that rubbish. They're all trash. You go and look at the Sydney group, the Hobartville, Aegon. 5 minutes ago, you were talking him up as a star. And
yeah,
I think
that's,
he is
but
a
that's
star.
The point,
well,
isn't it? We get
Zealand.
A drop in from
he's
New Zealand Australian. Who exposes the chinks in the Australian crop of three-year-olds.
I still think North Pacific was second up. Sometimes I think we just expect these colts just to go, what? First up.
The two three-year-olds.
What?
The
third up.
I know what you're saying, Shark, but the two three-year-olds ran last and second last in the futurity.
Crosshaven, you could probably say, isn't up to that level. Ole Kirk is a Guineas winner. I expected more from him on Saturday. I had him on top and I backed the horse. So, yeah, financially I was disappointed that he didn't win the race, but you watch the race and the way it unfolded. It didn't exactly go to plan for
it
him.
Didn't. I know you're right about that, but still the three-year-olds ran the
I wouldn't
past
ride him
past.
Off just yet.
Yeah. Well, you could,
I don't
you
think
go he, back to his own age
I was
group
going to say, you wouldn't ever ride him off against the own age group, but is he up to Probabil, Arcadia Queen, Russian Camelot's the X factor that we haven't seen
well,
yet?
Well, what we might be seeing is a group of, again... two mares. How often do we say that in the weight for age Group 1 races that the mares are dominating? But here's a very good pair of mares here, and probably an Arcadia Queen, that are maturing and look like they're at the absolute peak of their powers against a three-year-old colt that just he might not be ready for that.
I know you like picket fence champions, and we all do, because they're famous and all that sort of stuff, but there's something so much more exciting about an ongoing stoush, and to see probably Arcadia Queen go again.
It was brilliant.
But to have the idea of them going again in a couple of weeks.
Who do you
time,
want to be on? Because you're in love with Probabil. Who do you
but
want
I'm
to be on?
I'm in love with Arcadia Queen.
Who do you want to be
I
on?
I have
going
a lot of girlfriends. Four-legged girlfriends.
To an All-Star Mile. Because Probabil was three wide and was brilliant, and Arcadia Queen first up, you'd think will improve.
Behemoth can bridge the gap with a different race shape. That was just, he was just a sitting duck the way it unfolded. Ollie, maybe if he had his time again, he wouldn't press the button. Mm. He'd just sort of wait. I don't think Behemoth can bridge it enough to beat the mares, but he's going to bridge it by, I reckon, a length and a half under the right circumstances. I think, you know what I love about him is you could flip a coin and it'll come up Probabil or Arcadia Queen. It's just, I don't think there's more than a breath between them. Maybe the only difference is Probabil's curve is steeper. She's maybe improving more rapidly. Because poor old Arcadia, that's the problem with these pop-ups is too, is... They provide. I heard you with Aegon this morning, and That'd be crazy for them to come down for the All-Star Mile. He's on a traditional path.
Yeah.
You know, he's on a good path, you know. Like,
it was a pretty good prize money out there.
And when Arcadia Queen went for the Everest, it derailed her for 12 months, basically. Mm. It was just a complete...
Well, because she's... But Aegon's is a miler. She's not a 1,200 metre horse, so it's a bit different.
No, but what I'm saying is the... Yeah, look, I know, but that would require yanking him down to Sydney to go around Moonee Valley when he's in Sydney on a three-year-old path. That's where he should be, mm. so... And good on them for being traditional enough to not be distracted from that. So, anyway, and I don't think the very elegant comparison with these two mares is... I think it's a bit apples and orange when you talk about the super mares, because I think she's more of a soft dish track, middle distance to staying mare, very elegant. And these are sort of sharp autumn turn of foot mares in Melbourne.
Yeah, true.
I don't necessarily think they're all in the same category, necessarily, without denigrating any of them. So, anyway, I love the fact that, you know, good on the All-Star Mile because these mares are going to go around against Russian Camelot. It's going to be an enticing race. So what do you reckon? I honestly think there's probably not a breath between them. And if there is, it probably just belongs to Probabil.
It's hard to tip against one, isn't it? But I'd probably be with Arcadia Queen with more improvement to come.
Yep.
Willie Pike made an interesting comment after the race. He said, look, she was very good. I'd like to think there's improvement, but he was almost suggesting she's going to need to improve because the other horse has got a run under its belt, fitness on us going into the race. So there's that element that possibly they're
Can she improve Arcadia Queen?
Because she's getting capable within... of it, but she's again she's that run behind Probabil who's gone whack whack and then
but
goes
she's got within
up.
Half a length of Probabil. Is she capable? I mean, that's as good as she goes, Arcadia Queen, isn't it? I mean, can you go much better than what she did on Saturday? Has she got a performance that says she can actually run better than that? That was pretty good on Saturday.
Mm. SMS coming through here. Hey, what about Portland Sky, you pickle, saying that the three-year-olds are no good? Well, he was a good three-year-old performance on Saturday. That's a masterful training performance from Matt Laurie.
That's a different conversation, though, because it's a handicap race, right? Yeah. And the horse ran around with, what, 50 kegs on his back, 52 kegs. And, you know, that's a different conversation. If you're judging three-year-olds against open company, I think weight for age is your benchmark.
It's a
pickle. A bit early to be dropping that on him.
I think it was to me, not
especially,
to you.
Especially given Sharky is pickled this morning after yesterday's
What about Matt Laurie? To win an Oakley Plate at your seventh start with a three-year-old, it's a pretty good training performance coming back from 1,200 to 1,100 as well.
Absolutely. Super tough, absorbed all that pressure too, up on speed, did Portland Sky, whereas others sort of crumbled around him. He was still there and punching on late. It was a super win. I didn't think he was up to that. I had other three-year-olds in that race ahead of him, but credit to Teo Nugent and the horse. Just a great ride. Everything worked out perfectly for them and... Good, tough, on-speed horse.
He's a great trainer, Matt Laurie.
He's very good.
His background is very equestrian. It's not horsey gallops necessarily. He spent a bit of time overseas and all in equestrian circles. He's got one of those equestrian rings at his stables. He really focuses on that and just a different mindset, you know, as far as how he assesses the horse and getting it fit and things like that. He's quite an intriguing character, actually, Matt Laurie. He's not a media darling.
He's very hard to get on the radio.
No, I tried to drag him in 8 times on Saturday, and he was like, yeah, no problem, mate.
There's no reply when you put a message in. But the horses do his talking.
He's lethal. He's a lethal trainer.
He produced a very smart winner yesterday at Ballarat as well. So
his strike rate's the best of any trainer in the top 50 in Victoria.
Where do you go with Portland...
What about the one they backed at Yarra Valley? Did you see that?
No, I missed that one.
A horse called Baronessa. I think it was something like $6 to $1.40. And he got beaten. Talk about a crook way to start your day.
The thing that luckily yesterday was $9 into even money.
Well, even Portland Sky was $12 into 10 and hit as low as 9 late in betting on Saturday. So they're when the money's on, they're getting the job done.
Did you see the photo of William Pike?
Mm.
It was one of the great racing photos, and the ability for a jockey in the heat of the battle to time and get your body position where you can have your hand on the top of the horse's head and push it down just to gain half a centimetre or something.
And that horse isn't standing still.
No.
It's running at about 60-odd kilometres an hour the balance, it was incredible.
And his focus wasn't on cutting it in half to get there.
No,
it was to
push that head down.
You know, 20 years ago, that image would have been of a massive crack of the whip on the line or 5 metres from the line.
And
so
he's missed it by what? A centimetre?
Well, some are still just the theme from a couple of weeks ago, that the print didn't satisfy all.
Who? Oh, there was no doubt that was a dead heat.
No, I'm telling you, we'll go through social media.
Oh, those who backed Portland Sky weren't happy.
Well, anyway, some blew it up and said, look. Anyway, so I think just going back to the Blue Dot, there's so many different talking points. I want to talk about Rachel King as well in a minute, but... you know, this continual week-by-week discussion we have about two-year-olds, it just reminded me again on Saturday how grand final day is the only thing that matters. Enthar, for all the discussion that we've had, there's the little injury scare 2 days out. There's the wide barrier.
I don't know if it was an injury scare. It was Peter Moody, I thought.
A soundness scare.
Peter Moody put it very succinctly when we spoke to him on Saturday morning. He said, look, if Kieran probably had his time, he would have told the stewards that this horse has got a bit of an awkward gait, and then the vets would have known about it. So I don't think there was any doubt that the horse wasn't 100% fit.
Well, there was the issue with the stewards anyway. So, there may or may not have been a niggle, who knows. But then you get the wide barrier, then you get her racing like a crazy two-year-old and going 10, 10, 10. So...
The sectional shoe was running.
But she had her head on her chest, though.
Yeah, but that's...
But she's running too fast.
It was incredible how quick she goes.
She looks like she's doing it so effortlessly, and she was. I think what's going to be fascinating with Enthar is with age and maturity and more strength, if she can sustain that speed over another 100 metres, because it was only really the last 100 that they...
She was in front at the 100.
But how many of them do? How many Enthars have we seen? We've seen 100 Enthars over the last 20 years. They do. That's what happens. These ratings guys go crazy about them, and they have to get it right.
10, you know? 26.
That's crazy.
From the 1,000 to the 800. 10, 52. 11, 30. And she's run 11, 57, which was still damn quick, because there are others chasing her that just... couldn't keep up at all.
But there was Rubik, Gonski. There's been a lot of these two-year-olds
who
do this.
I'm not putting her in that.
I think she's better than that. Disappointing if you backed her, and I thought she was almost a good thing, but I knew watching the sectionals that she was not going to be able to sustain.
The grand final pressure in two-year-old races is like no other pressure.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's where
I thought Mark Zoa rode her really smartly to try and keep her away from the others, to try and help her settle, but she's just... He put it, I think he said, she's just so brilliant.
Yeah, he's so brilliant. I can't wait for the next 12 months with her, 18 months. Because she's not going to be, unless injury sort of ends her career prematurely, she's not going to be whipped off anywhere to start or anything like that. So the physical development that comes, if she might grow up and become Anders. We might see her in 12 months winning the Oakley Plate.
But I'm not knocking her, but it's just like a two-year-old, seriously. But the only thing that matters is that the Freedmans are the ones who know what they're doing.
Unbelievable.
And I say to Mark Eustace, don't get me wrong, but this is the complete prototype of a Lee Freedman, Anthony Freedman, Sam Freedman, whatever Freedman, grand final Freedman. Winning two-year-old. They tick along, they might get rolled at their first start like it did, then they'll get better, and then they'll be positioned and come home with the best sectional eight. So.
Well, Sam Freeman summed it up when I chatted to him this morning, saying that there's no point getting a horse in November if you want him to be peaking on Diamond Day. You've got to time it, and that's what his father is a genius at, and that's what he is learning with Artorias. Yep. And, that finishing burst the last 100 metres was quite phenomenal. And they're making the decision, Sharky, not to go to a Golden Slipper. Hadn't even nominated him for a Golden Slipper, which is probably...
Tells you about the horse,
doesn't it? Well, it's probably a smart call, because it would be difficult with his racing style and pattern to win a slipper at Rose Hill, probably. But, gee, you haven't. The way he finished off, you'd almost say he'd have the size at his mercy.
You would think so. And we were talking about him last Friday. You know, the size 1400 seemed to be, in, I think, a lot of people's mind, that was going to be his race, more so than a Diamond. So that's the bonus Group 1 win on the way to something more suitable, which is... incredibly exciting, and a horse that didn't cost a lot of money, what, $120,000, that's got a lot of, you know, in inverted commas, mum and dad owners.
You say to your non-racing friends, it didn't cost much. I said, what did this horse cost? It only cost $120,000. They go, what?
Yeah, well, it's crazy.
Anyway,
you know,
we've done the Diamond. What about the...
No, hang on. You've done the Diamond. Here's one for you, Matty. Enthar will make a great 9.55 horse at the Valley.
No, I'm not being that cruel. I'm just saying that she might be a brilliant talent, but... grand final day exposes
chicks. Valuable.
Another one here saying, would they think about changing the stable? I'm not sure why you'd consider changing stables with Enther. What about keep knocking Ole Kirk, boys. I was not disappointed. He will bounce back. Dr. Turf was pre-race on the autumn, was perfect. Pre-race on the autumn ticket. Got to look for something that will get the distance, not something that is just a speed machine. The rest of the Triple Crown will be easy picking if they decide that go that way.
Even the greatest speed machine winners of the Diamond, like Manicato, Ballesprit, all of those, they still only they didn't win by big margins. They sort of were getting wobbly late. I think Manicato won by a couple of lengths or something, but a lot of the others, you know, even the superstar front running winners tended to be stopping late.
Well, here's a question: can Enthar still win the Slipper Sharky?
No.
No, move on.
Can't we? And the problem is that you've got a horse like Profiteer who looks like it.
What would Profiteer have done in the Diamond on Saturday?
You're doing it again.
What?
wait till the barriers come out.
You're doing it again.
You're doing it again. You're doing it again. You're getting paid by the two-year-old industry, aren't you?
I think they're...
You are fascinated.
Why isn't it exciting? I didn't have a good day. I backed Emzara on Impecunic. That was G. Boss on Impecunic.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Should have bolted in. Enthar, shared ambition. The only good ride was Enthar. Now I'm impecunious. Well, good use of the word impecunious, Steve. But
I can't even
Bossy was on impecunious.
That was a tough watch.
She's a very smart filly. It should have won easy.
The track was interesting.
Aussie Care telling me she's been galloped on quite badly.
Oh, really?
Too. Yeah. So not sure where she goes next or if she's going to need any time off. But it's Aussie texted me after the race and said she's been stripped behind pretty poorly.
That's not good news.
No.
Not good news at all. We're going to take a break in a moment. Before we do, just want to go through a few of the other races at Caulfield. Can Defibrillate win the Australian Cup?
This year he can.
Yeah, he probably could, you know. He's the form horse, isn't he?
You'd have a crack?
Why not? He's probably raced him. Well, he has raced himself out of handicap grade. It's a step up again, but he's going so well. Why wouldn't you have a go?
And for those who were listening on Saturday morning, thank you to PG Moody, Matty, because we said, I don't think I've heard Moody... Maybe he said something similar with Glenn Finnick. But we asked him on Saturday, Oxley Road, does it win? And his one-word reply was, yes. And it was never, ever in doubt.
And there was an interesting part about its win that gave us a hint of the track on Saturday, and that was that it led, but it stayed 3 and 4 off the fence and kept that arc going. And there was a lot of discussion about, and I'm not bagging the track at all. I think it's a good evolution. The track looked like it was racing almost slow for the first 3 or 4 races, and they were getting off the fence. And it was a real grind. The ground was lush and all that, but I think that's terrific, safe ground. I don't think the horses need to be visually, you know, skimming across the turf to be impressive and so on. But it was an interesting adjustment to the policy, and Jason Kerr gave us an insight, and probably discuss it more during the morning, but I think Oxley Road was the first indication of, wow, this is different. This is as soft in autumn with the weather pattern we'd had that I think Caulfield's been for 10 years.
That is true. And Jason Kerr said it was probably a 4.5 in the morning. But he, once again, was unlucky because the weather predicted for Saturday was low 30s and blazing sunshine.
Has the MRC changed its mindset?
And that did not occur.
Is the mindset of the MRC with track preparation different now than it was?
Well, it used to be a lot firmer. It used to be pretty hard and fast. So there's a bit more give in the ground now, but I don't think there'd be much.
Administratively, though, are they working to a different directive now?
Well, I think Mike Simons has been pretty clear that he likes, you know, he's a big punter. He likes the harder, the faster, the better for punting. Now, the welfare side of it, maybe trainer side of it, could be a different. Maybe there's a bit of a movement to the middle of to how that track is prepared. Disappointing, the inside was a little bit off,
yeah,
but
off.
Again...
the inside was off. You could see it very early. The jockeys worked that out and started avoiding it. Like,
now, was that because the track didn't get to dry out because of the weather wasn't as predicted? The other thing, too, is that it's a very busy track during the Autumn Carnival Caulfield by the time you get to your big
it
day.
It is very busy.
But I think Jason Kerr explained with the sprinkler system that they have... The idea that Simo and others had was that the more you water a track, the more you create bias. But the view that Jason Kerr's had for at least 12 or 18 months is that that's not the case because he's got this watering system that is completely even and so on. So Others still disagree with that, thinking that it still plays down to the rail, the moisture, but I'd rather have a rail that's a little bit off than a fast lane on the rail, and I think it had a marginal effect, but I think the horses all went home safely, and I think the punters were reasonably happy.
What's Moods doing with Oxley Road now? Sharky, if you had it, where would you head?
I'd just probably look at another three-year-old race, a group race to pick off.
He's a very valuable colt. If he can win a group race.
He's a Group 3 winner that's a brother to a Group 1 winner who's yet to be proven at stud. There is definitely some value with the horse. Arguably, so that the market would pay the most for him at the moment is Hong Kong, but hopefully he doesn't go there.
Well, mate of mine came up with the stats. I can't remember what they were. The main reason why we're having these terrible lack of depth in our ranks is we lose a lot more horses to Hong Kong than we think.
Sharky's responsible for that. He keeps clipping the ticket. That's why he's got so much money. Every horse that gets sold over to Hong Kong, he's pushing their barrow over there. So.
Oh boy.
there'll be a race for him in the next few weeks somewhere.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll look at Sydney. And we're also going to have a chat to Simon Wild. What about the performance of Charlie Rose over in South Australia? The Adelaide Cup is at her mercy. We'll talk about Golden 60 as well. And even the Saudi Cup. All that's still to come. Keep the SMSs coming. I'll get through more of those on the other side of this.
RSN 927's Racing Pulse presents The Verdict.
Furore and Golden 60, exultant between them. It's Golden 60 and Furore. Terrific battle. Golden 60, Furore rallies the inside. Golden 60, Furore. Here's the post. Golden 60. Golden 60 in a wonderful stretch battle has knocked off a gallant Furore.
Oh, what a battle it was. Golden 60 now making it 13 wins in a row. And it's everything Matt Stewart hates about racing. A picket fence, Hong Kong heroes, but that race has turned him around and he is a Hong Kong Golden 60 devotee now. That was some race, Matt.
Well, I just think I just love the way he clawed his way to victory. Time Warp did his usual thing, but then he put the brakes on and halfway through the race, because the mail I was getting from Hong Kong was that he hasn't quite come up as well as he had the previous campaign, Golden 60, so there was a bit of a feeling that he was vulnerable. And then when the race unfolded, I thought Furore's getting a good run. Exultant was getting a gun run, just trailing up behind the leader. And I thought, you're going to have to be really good to win this. And forgetting all those things I hate, I just thought it was a courageous win. It was probably one of his best wins.
There's no doubt about that. It's hard to get a line on how good these horses are overall, Sharky.
It is. I think the starting point, you've got to look at the jurisdiction they're in. Australian good horses, come to the fore and put up picket fence things. We don't say, oh, they're a bubble champion in Australia. They may never leave our shores, but we don't call them a bubble champion. I think you have to be fair that he is beating up consistently on the best horses in Hong Kong. Therefore, he is probably the best horse in Hong Kong. How that translates outward to a European market or an Australian market, I don't know. We don't know until they go and try. The sad thing is we probably won't see that happen with the current climate, COVID, whatnot.
Wouldn't it be nice to get that Nirvana situation where there was a circuit that involved us and them?
Be so good.
And that we could see Golden 60.
It would be so
good. And then they could see Winx, we could see Golden 60. We'll swap you an Arcadia Queen for a Furore from time to time. And it's just a shame that this pocket of the world can't get that organised.
Well, they tried it something like it, didn't they, back when they had the Global Sprint Challenge?
Yep.
Yeah.
And we did see the sprinters get on that circuit a little bit, and there was mega bonuses and whatever else, Cape of Good Hope and horses like that that came down here regularly.
There was a Singapore champion that came down?
Yeah, there was. There was a Hong Kong Lucky Nine came down as well. Yep. So there were a few that sort of got on that circuit. Do you have a middle distance world championship? Is that something that can be promoted again?
Is that where some RV money should be directed? You know, if people are critical of where the focus is of what's going to work and make people interested. Got a view on the Australian Cup. Gee, social media's gone crazy about the pressure on the Australian Cup to change itself.
Well, Dean Lester brought this up on Monday morning. Now, I think he, maybe it was yesterday, I'm correct, late, but he's been talking about it for a while, saying that it's the perfect time now for the Australian Cup because of the All-Star Mile tends to maybe eat into the Wait for Age horses going for $5 million instead of the Australian Cup to revert back to a handicap.
Well, if as a Wait for Age race, it's not getting ticker tape horses, then the Wait for Age isn't the attraction, is it? So look, this is the market for it, non-conformist. And to be honest, it's been a pretty weak race year in, year out for 15 years, the Australian Cup, if you really look through it. So non-conformist is the favourite from... And you guys will tell me which ones aren't running too, because Very Elegant's in the market. She's not running, is she?
No.
Non-conformist, 50 stars, Shared Ambition, Defibrillate, you know, is a handicapper and he's $11, Angel of Truth, Old Humidor... So it's not going to look a lesser race as a handicap, is what I'm saying, and maybe it will make it more attractive. And what we saw in the Oakley Plate Shark, maybe a handicap generates more interest because everyone can play. And that's my knock on the All Star, is that it does not fulfil its brief as a Wait for Age.
The landscape has changed, and there are different races now. But just to give some context to what you said about the depth and quality of the Australian Cup. The last five or six winners, 50 stars, Harlem, Humidor, Preferment, Spillway, and Friorente. You go back to 2005, Maccabi Diva, 2004, Lonro, 2003, Northerly, 2002, Old Comrade, 2001, Northerly, 2000, Intergaze, and then 96, 97, 98, Saintly Octagonal, Dane Ripper. So,
and then the Bayrogue era.
It is a chasm, the difference of quality. Now, there's the New South Wales increased prize money. There's other races here with increased prize money. But I think it's something that does need to be looked at.
Yeah, and it did have a flurry as a handicap, you'll remember too, in its history as well. And then they went back to Wait for Age. So it would be interesting to have a chat to... In fact, our next guest is probably someone who would probably have a view on it as well. He's probably got a mare that could win it.
82 to 86, it was a handicap. Mm. And it was also a handicap up to 78 as well. So... Well, should we ask Simon Wall?
Maybe. That's if you can get him off.
I'll tell you what. Charlie Rose is going so well.
This might be the new surprise bait.
Could throw her in an Australian Cup instead of an Adelaide Cup. Did you hear that? The next surprise baby declared from Matt Stewart. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, boys.
She was arrogant on Saturday.
Yeah, look, she was good. I mean, I think sometimes the hype can overtake the horse a little bit, and I hope that hasn't been the case with her. She's... you know, she's probably beaten moderate field. She's done it very, very nicely. But, I mean, you know, that you're allowed to dream, I guess, and we're doing a bit of dreaming at the moment. But it'll be interesting to see what she does against a better field. I'm sure the Adelaide Cup will be a step up, and that's where we're going to go with the next.
Paul Prusco and Danny O'Brien, the vow and declare and surprise baby, who have created and nurtured these terrific Australasian bred stayers. They do have all sorts of measures to work out why they're as good as they are. Do you whack a heart score machine on her? Do you know what's under the bonnet with her?
Yeah, we do. I mean, I don't do that, but I mean, we've just seen her. You know, she's got the biggest tank. She's the most clean-winded horse. She's lovely and sound, touch wood, at the moment. And, you know, she doesn't run super times on the track or anything like that, but she's got the most, you know, the most beautiful action and a really, really long stride. So she's... And, I mean, her breeding as well really points towards being a stayer. So we haven't done any tests as such, but, you know, we've always earmarked her as a stayer, and she's, you know, she's delivering at the moment.
Simon, she won her maiden first up in October, and she's on this six-run winning streak that'll probably, you know, culminate in an Adelaide Cup start. Can she keep going, and how hard is it to keep staying horses like this up for that amount of time? Or, given that she is clean-winded and so fit, is it easier to keep a horse like this up for such a long time?
Yeah, I think probably we're quite lucky with our environment. She lives in a paddock down here, and we've got quite a varied routine. So she seems to be actually getting better. You know, like we travelled her over there, and you know, behaviour was great. As a 3-year old, she was a bit of a touchy sort of filly. She had a funny temperament, but we've just noticed over the last couple of months, you know, she seems to be settling more and more around the stable, as well as, you know, as well as in the races. And you know, she's just a really happy horse. I mean, I don't think that you know, there's any reason to be spelling her at the moment. She's just right in the zone, and she, you know, takes a long time to get them fit, and she's lovely and fit. And as you said, she, you know, being clean-winded, she doesn't take a whole lot of work to maintain that fitness. And So it's just, you know, she's in a nice environment down here, and I think she'll be able to just keep going. I don't think there's any reason to be spelling her. All the signs are great. You know, she's eating up and she's a really happy horse. So, I think it's, I don't think there'll be any reason to be going to the paddock.
Simon, it's really hard for Aussies to dream about winning the Melbourne Cup these days because it's just such a hard race to win, and we don't make these horses like the overseas people do, but this is a New Zealand-bred mare, and she is the second... I know it means nothing, but she's the second favourite for the Melbourne Cup right now.
Really?
Charlie Rose at $18.
Well, that's a bit of an overreaction, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a surprise baby reaction, a bit too, from what he was... sort of things he was doing. Is it an achievable dream for someone like you, an Australian trainer, to take a Australasian created horse and dream about winning a Melbourne Cup? Is it a possible pathway for a horse like Charlie Rose in the modern world?
I think it is. I think we just, I've said this before. The European horses that are imported, you know, they're usually 4-year-olds that have only had a handful of starts, and then when they get here, they're mature enough to cope with our training. And I think in Charlie Rose's case, look, she's 4.5, and she's only had 10 starts, I think. You know, and we've tried to have that slower approach with her, so that when she is at these long distances and racing over a lot of ground, that she's actually able to cope. And I'm surprised it hasn't been tried or done more often because I think it can be done. If you get something that's staying bred and you give it the time and try and develop it slowly.
Well, you're there, Simon?
Yep.
Yeah, sorry. I just had a gremlin in the light. Having said that then, Simon, obviously the Adelaide Cup's the next target, but you've got to be thinking how you're going to get her into a Melbourne Cup, because an Adelaide Cup probably won't get you into a Melbourne Cup. So are you looking at an Andrew Ramsden, or are you looking to go to a Sydney Cup to get a big win under your belt?
Yeah, we've got an entry in the Sydney Cup. Sometimes the hype overtakes the horse, and I just, it might be a bit of the case with her at the moment, but... if she did win an Adelaide Cup, we'd be definitely considering the Sydney Cup. The only thing there would be the weather. You know, it tends to be wet in Sydney at that time of the year, and that might be, that might be something that we'd have to reconsider if it was. But, I really don't think she's going to have any problems with 2 miles. I think, I'm that convinced she'll run a strong 2 miles. I don't think that's going to be an issue for her at all.
Well, it's exciting times ahead, Simon. So Adelaide Cup in 2 weeks, and then maybe off to a Sydney Cup as well. I've just had a little look. You've got a few runners today. Can you leave us with a winner today?
We've probably put Skyway Stars first up. Run was quite good, and it's not a strong race, her race. So, yeah, she might be the one today.
All right, race 5, number 6. Good on you, Simon. Well done on the weekend.
Thanks very much.
It's an amazing story, isn't it? Because I remember just, when you're sitting around and something pops up in a maiden at Warrnambool, and I saw this thing win way back at the
monstrous,
start of
monstrous, wasn't it?
And I just thought, wow, what's this going to do,
How did she get beaten in a maiden at Terang? I think it was over 1,800
years. Well, that was, though, don't you?
But that was the key, right? Yeah. As Simon just said, she wasn't there mentally, and physically she probably wasn't there. And the good thing is he gave her the time, and the owners were willing to give her the time, and not give up on the horse. And it just shows you, Charlie Rose is proof that we haven't lost the art of conditioning a stayer. And if you do want to spend the time and mould that beast, if things go well for you, you can get a result.
It's one of the biggest stories in racing now for the next 6 months, Charlie Rose, because she's the new hope of the team.
Simon's trying to... Don't overhype her. She's the next surprise baby.
But from
she's
our
here.
Point of view, don't you think, she's the horse we're now going to watch through the Melbourne
she's
Cup?
She's got to deliver in an Adelaide Cup, and then maybe even in the Sydney Cup, because, no disrespect, Long Arm's performed well since he's come out here. She's beaten Long Arm, and then prior to that, she smashed a very average field in the Baggot. So she's got to meet some strong opposition.
This is practice, and they're moulding an athlete here. They're building confidence. They're building a record. They're playing the handicap game. They're getting her up the ratings without absolutely torching her or putting her under pressure that they don't have to. I, I just, you're right, Matt. It's a great story, but it gives you confidence. As somebody who loves racing stayers like I do, she's a $50,000 buy.
Yeah.
You know, you start your engines, like Long Arm, who came to Australia with no black type and was a handicapper in Europe, was up near $600,000, $700,000. Yep. You've got to win a lot of races to get that back. Here's a Tavistock out of Karaka for $50,000 that we're all talking about as the new hope of the side. I think it's a great little shot in the arm for those that still have the dream of winning classic races.
Got to take a quick break. A couple of SMSs, which I'll get to on the other side of that. And we also want to touch on the Saudi Cup because it was an Aussie Connection win over there. That's the verdict still to come on the other side of this.
RSN 927's Racing Pulse presents the verdict.
True Self coming with a flying finish. True Self's up into second. Channelmaker's trying to hold on. 100 metres to go. Channelmaker's still there. True Self keeps on coming. True Self to the top. True Self from off the pace over Channelmaker.
Oh, that was a big win for OTI and Terry Henderson on Saudi Cup night. True Self winning the Turf Cup of the night. Not sure what the actual name was, but it was the turf equivalent, not worth anywhere near $20 million, but it was still a good performance. I think.
And Holly Doyle.
Yeah.
Was the winning rider. Like, so
Terry, bring her out to ride True Self in the spring.
Well, I think, he probably would think about doing that. She had jockey cam on. It was quite I've got some footage I'll show you guys later of the jockey cam that Holly Doyle had, and it was a neon turf cup.
Time on it.
Sheds a lot of light on it. Rachel King, Holly Doyle, Rachel King, Jamie Carr, Kayla Crowther. Discussion that...
It's a bit going on.
Dean and I were sort of having it, and it was interesting that Dean, because it's a wild, crazy theory of mine, but it's interesting when astute people sort of think, maybe... Are they actually now advantaged, the good females, with the way racing's evolved, with less whip and all these sorts of things? It's almost like Jamie Carr and Rachel King and the absolutely super elite girls, there's a little... I don't know what it is, X factor, that they are bringing, that the boys, even the superstar boys,
but
aren't
maybe bringing. They're just the best jockeys.
But why are they the best jockeys?
I think that might be.
Why is Damien Oliver better than...
Why are the females launched all of a sudden?
But
and
not
top
every
the
female. These are the elite of the elite.
Never happened before. It's happening all around the world in every jurisdiction.
But maybe because there are more of them that are riding now. Where there's 20 years ago...
There's nowhere near as many girls as there are boys at that level. Nowhere
but there are more in the in the ratio than what they used to be.
But I still think they're...
And they're getting the opportunities that they never got.
Their success is still disproportionate to everything you just said. They're still going better than all those little factors add up to. So,
whether Rachel King 4 on Saturday, yep. Jamie Carr, Peter Moody, I should have pulled the grab out. We'll pull it out when we discuss it later in the week. What he said about Jamie Carr is that she's the best, maybe one of the best he's ever seen, the way she is riding at the moment. And she's playing everyone else off a break because she is just so confident and the horses are running for them so well at the moment.
Maybe centre of gravity, kindness on their mouth, soft hands has taken over from the argument that strength is what matters. Maybe that argument is now stronger. You know?
Is there an actual defining aspect of female riders that gets the horses to respond in a better way? Maybe it's something intangible. Kate Mallion was on Seven the other week and she was asked about Jamie Carr. She said, I just think horses go better for female riders. And
that's what I'm trying to get to, Felgate.
And anecdotally,
Tony
she
McAvoy
said,
told me that.
Yeah, and anecdotally, she was reflecting on her career
the
and
simplicity of
her
of...
and saying, I just think he'll respond better to a female rider. And often it did happen.
But that's the simplicity of what I'm putting to you, is do horses go better for girls? When the girl has the same ability as the boy, does the horse go better for a girl?
Well, as Sharky says, it's an intangible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's hard to... SMS girls are finally getting good mouths. So I think that plays a part too. There's certainly a lot more opportunity than what they would have got even in Michelle Payne's
Jamie Carr is turning around horses that the top male jockeys are not succeeding with. You know,
and maybe her background, especially with the equestrian and having maybe an innate affinity with the horse, being grown up on the back from a
love of the animal rather than treating the animal as a commodity. That's what Tony McAvoy said to me once. He said, "You'll throw a male jockey on, and you." This is not knocking male jockeys, so I'm not going there. But the girls seem to have that rapport and love that is deeper than most of the guys who the further they get into their career, the more it's getting from A to B and then getting on the next horse, that mentality. So maybe the horse appreciates it.
Just on, we played True Self winning over there on Saudi Cup night. Who won the Saudi Cup?
Mishrif, French Derby winner, won the Saudi Cup.
$20 million race, US, $10 million to the winner.
Pointless race.
I was going to say, what's
the point of
what impact is it having? Sharky over in Europe and America, is it capturing any imagination?
Well, I've got a French Derby winner, so, you know, it's a fair recruit, and he went around at 8-1 and got the job done, but there are a lot of American horses in the race, and good American horses too, so...
It's just not on our radar,
it's
is
probably
it?
Not, it's just not on our radar.
Prince of Arran, there could be some question over his future, because he finished second last in the race, and I think he was one of the favourites. So, Charlie Fellows tweeted that, we're going to give him all the time he needs. He owes us nothing, so we'll wait to see what the future holds for Prince of Arran, the superstar who we love so much over here as well. A couple of SMSs just to finish things off. If Simon Wild's talking about not wanting a heavy track for the Sydney Cup, even if there was no rain now, it'd still be a heavy nine for Sydney
Navesh,
Cup Day.
Navesh told me it's going to be wetter than normal.
And my wet track has just gone to the paddock.
Sharky, can you explain why horses improve when they're gelded? Very succinctly, Sharky.
It's often concentration. It's often got to do with the weight that they lose over certain parts of their body. So joints have less pressure on them. Sometimes it helps them mature in different ways. There's a number of reasons why you would geld a horse to try and get better improvement.
Some go the other way. Some go the other way, though, don't they?
You can leave them too long and they can resent it. It's like they know what happened to them.
A lot of SMSs agreeing with you, Matt, about the females maybe being better. And then another one saying, Matty, those girls are getting the best rides now. It's not as simple as that. You need to look deeper. That is from Steve.
Look deeper, Matty.
Another one saying, is it because most track work riders are females? So
there's got to be something in it. I'm not saying... It's like this magic thing, but I think there has to be something into it.
Boys, we're out of time. So much to talk about. Sharky, have you got a horse to follow or a run to follow from the weekend?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. That's a very honest answer, Matty.
Maldestro goes around on Friday. I'll give you an early tip.
Again.
Run well again.
The hundreds are gone.
They are well gone, Michael.
Hundreds are gone. Matty, Sharky, fun as always. Tomorrow... Looking forward to broadcasting live from Rosemont Stud. Going out to see Mytho and the crew in the build-up to the Premier Sales. And they would have been... We didn't even mention Brooklyn Hustle. Oh, she was good in the Oakley plate.
She's always good like that, though. Catches the eye.
We will talk... She was stiff, throwing little bombs. Oh, Mytho will have rider reply tomorrow.
That's fine.
We will speak to him live out there at Rosemont tomorrow. Gents, Matty, we'll read all about it at rsm.net. Sharky, I'll see you on Friday. Don't go anywhere, punters, because there are more winners on the other side of the news.